this morning by reading Psalms 145. You don't need to turn there. We're not going to return later in the service to this passage. But I'm going to begin by reading Psalms 145, and then before the message, we'll hear a Psalms 24 quoted for us. But Psalms 145, listen to the words of this psalm as the psalmist writes and says, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another. They shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Well, let's pray this morning as we begin our time together in worship. Heavenly Father, we come and we join the psalmist, and we say, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. And may we who are gathered here this morning bless your holy name. May we praise you this morning together as we're together corporately. May you receive our praises in our singing. May you hear our words in prayer as we express to you your greatness, your majesty, your power, your righteousness, your holiness. Father, we thank you that in coming to you in prayer, we acknowledge that we have the privilege because of Jesus Christ, and so we come boldly and confidently, not because of any merit or righteousness of our own, but because of Jesus and his righteousness. We thank you that through faith in Jesus, you clothe us in his righteousness, and we find a welcome before you. We thank you that when we come to you in prayer, that you not only hear us, but you give to us yourself, and so we are grateful for it. Father, as we gather together this morning to sing praise to your name again, we ask that you'd receive our worship. We pray that you'd also empower our worship, that you'd give us grace to sing to you, grace to hear your word read. Give us endurance to listen, to pay attention, but also to engage in this worship this morning. Father, we thank you for all that's come. You know the needs in the hearts of all who are present. You know the burdens, the cares. You also know the joy and the delights. I pray that in ways that only you can, by your Spirit, using your word and using your people, you administer encouragement and strength this morning, and may we receive it from you and give you praise for it. Father, bless now this time that we have together. Be glorified in all that is said and done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm both exhausted and exhilarated. I got to sing with the early service and now again at the latter service, and it's been fantastic. As you find your seats, the children are dismissed for children's ministry, so they can head to the back and check in there in the foyer and head to their respective classes. Appreciate the musicians leading us in music this morning, both in praise and in prayer, and glad to join you in singing this hour. Very good. Well, before we turn to the preaching of the word this morning, I'm going to ask Peter Kunz to come, and he's going to share a psalm that he's memorized this summer. So, Peter, come and share with us this morning.
Well, I appreciate the emphasis by the church on scripture memorization, and I chose a shorter psalm, Psalm 24, a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of heaven shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah.
Thank you, Peter. Well, maybe you've not memorized one of the Psalms this summer, but maybe you've memorized 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. And I say that just because it's been our theme verse for the last 4 or 5 weeks, and we've said it probably every Sunday. But 1 Timothy 4, 7, 8 says, train yourself for godliness. And that's what we've been talking about. This sermon series prior to this one talked about how God trains us for godliness and his activity in our growth and our spiritual growth, and we're grateful for his faithfulness and perseverance with us. But this verse is a challenge to us. Train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So as we get started this morning and thinking through our godliness training, I simply ask you, how's your spiritual fitness program coming? How's your godliness training regimen coming along? I've been encouraged by these series of messages. I've also been encouraged by the various responses to these messages as we've talked about a variety of spiritual disciplines. It's been encouraging how some of you have been picking up on them and making application to your life in various ways. It's been encouraging. But how's your godliness training regimen coming along? Are you building up your faith? Are you developing your spiritual muscles? Are you growing in perseverance and endurance as your lungs are beginning to breathe celestial air? Are you developing passion, energy, as your body is wasting away? Are you being renewed day by day in your inner man and being strengthened in the Lord? I trust that you are. As I was thinking through this verse about training yourself for godliness, for bodily training is of some value, it was interesting to think through the fact that at the first of the year, in January, February, you know, the gyms and the YMCAs and the fitness programs all over the area, they hit a real uptake in enrollments. People make New Year's resolutions and new commitments, and in January and February, all the faithful gym goers get annoyed because all the bikes are filled, all the exercise machines are full, and they're like, okay, give it 5 or 6 weeks, and it'll be back to the faithful few of us, and a few people will join along. I suppose there's some comparisons to be made there, but it's interesting to note that those who begin physical fitness programs, if they will press through the initial weeks of apathy and soreness and the desire to quit, those who actually push through and persevere on often develop a passion for the exercise they once abhorred. I'm not a runner. As you know that, I like to bike. There's some exercises I enjoy doing, but I'm not a runner. But this last Thursday night, we went to see a movie of my academic advisor. They made a movie of his life, and he's an ultra-marathoner. I've referenced him before, and I remember if you went down and you enrolled in his class, you learned to run. And some people developed a passion for it and became lifetime runners. I didn't gain that skill. But there are people who, you know, running is hard work. It's difficult. And if you start running, you know, they have that Couch to 5K app and different things to encourage your running. It's amazing. If you start running those first few days, you're sore and miserable and you just want to quit. But it's amazing how some, as they press through and they actually become runners, just becomes a part of them. It becomes a part of their rhythm, part of their life routine, part of their habits. That kind of pattern, that kind of activity, that kind of lifestyle is what we're after in our godliness training regimen. Picking up habits, picking up disciplines that we hope to exercise and press into, and some will stick and some will fall off, but we're wanting to become like Jesus, and that's what we're growing into. So just like in a physical exercise routine, people who engage in those, they add different exercises at different seasons. And they change the routine, and they add resistance, and they decrease resistance and increase reps, and they take periods of rest, and they learn new sets of exercises. But the thought of not exercising just never enters their mind. It's become a part of who they are. And that's what we want to do with this sermon series, to be challenged in various exercises, spiritual disciplines, and some of them we'll strap on, and some of them we'll put off, and we'll learn new ones, and we'll put aside old ones. But again, the goal is becoming like Jesus Christ. And I hope that you have that as the forefront of your vision as it relates to training ourselves for godliness. We don't want to train ourselves to be Pharisees. And it's easy to do that myself. It's easy to think through training exercises and spiritual disciplines and observing our man-made rules and man-made traditions and then impressing people with our commitments and our disciplines and how spiritual we are. And then the offshoot of that is we can become quite proud and begin putting ourselves above. We don't want to be like that. We want to train ourselves to be godly. We want to train ourselves to be like Jesus. And so in character and conduct and thought and activity, we want to be like Jesus Christ. We know from the prior sermon series that that's what God is committed to. Those whom God has graciously saved, He is committed to us to conform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're grateful that which He began, He's going to carry on to a finish. We're grateful for that. But now knowing that God, having saved us, is committed to conforming us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, we who have been graciously saved by Him, we exercise the grace He gives us. That's an interesting term. We exercise the grace He gives us to grow in His likeness. So He's saved us by His grace, and He's given us various means whereby we might grow in grace, and we pick those means up, and we exercise ourselves, trusting that God will use them to develop us in our spiritual fitness and our godliness training. So how's your godliness training coming? Another interesting thought as you think through your exercises, even in your godliness training program, it's going to look different than the person sitting next to you. And there's probably no one in this room who's going to have an exercise training or a godliness training regimen that's going to look like yours. We like to cookie cutter this thing. That if you're going to grow in godliness, you need to do it this way at this time and this with this energy. No one in this room is the same. Think through the physical training. If you were to go down to the Sport Zone or the YMCA or some local gym, if I were to go down there 3 or 4 days a week, no one in that room has the same regimen that I have. No one. No one does the exact same exercises in the exact same order. Some people don't do any of the exercises I do. They're doing a completely different set of exercises. And you know the same will be true of you and I as we train ourselves for godliness? Some people are going to be fantastic memorizers of Scripture, and that's going to be a primary spiritual discipline for them. They're going to have other disciplines they engage in. They're going to pray and read the Word of God, but they just love to memorize Scripture, and other people are going to struggle with it, but they're going to find that they really love to read God's Word extended periods. So your regimen is going to look different, and so we don't want to hold one another accountable to our discipline program. And we don't want to compare ourselves with one another as it relates to various exercises. What we do want to do is press one another on to love and good deeds and to growing to become like Jesus Christ. And so let's keep that in the forefront of our minds as well. In light of that, though, there are some basic exercises that apply to all of us as we train ourselves for godliness. And again, some people are morning people. They're going to do these early in the morning. Some people are night people. But there are some basic exercises that we've been learning. And so far, we've looked at listening exercises. In training ourselves for godliness, we train ourselves to listen. Listen to God's Word as it is faithfully read and faithfully preached. Having God's Word with us and reading it continually, memorizing God's Word, meditating on God's Word, never graduating from the school of discipleship. Some of our training ourselves for godliness involves listening to God. And again, your regimen may look different, but it's going to involve God's word if you're going to grow in godliness. Reading it, memorizing it, meditating on it, thinking it through. It's going to be at various intervals, but God's word and listening to him and training yourself to listen to him is that first part. Last week, we began to turn the corner and we began to move into speaking exercises. We're not just students here. It's not just a student-teacher relationship. We're not just students, we're also children. Born again, adopted family members. We're not just disciples, but we're brothers and sisters and friends. And so we don't just listen to God as he speaks to us in his word, but we also speak to him. And it delights us to know that God actually desires to hear our voice. I mean, we desire to hear God's voice, and we delight in hearing from him. It amazes us that God desires to hear from us, desires to hear our voice, and he's purchased the privilege for us, and through Jesus Christ, we draw near to God with boldness and confidence. But training ourselves for godliness involves listening to God. It also involves speaking. Last week, I took you to Luke chapter 12, and in Luke chapter 12, we picked up a model of prayer and a great motivation to pray. The model prayer was the Lord's Prayer, and the motivation to pray was the good and gracious, wise, and kind nature of our Heavenly Father, who delights in giving himself to us in prayer. We learned that last week. How awesome. We don't go to God in prayer just to get things from him. We go to God in prayer to actually get him, and he delights in giving himself to us in prayer. How wonderful that is. And having God, we are satisfied. This morning, I'm not going to have you turn to a particular passage, and which I normally do. And because I'm not going to have you turn to a particular passage, there's three verses I'm going to take you to that speak into our prayer life. For example, before I even put those up on the screen for you, we know, as we learned last week, that it's very wise of us to have a scheduled time of prayer, to actually have a time and a place where we go and we meet with God. As part of our training ourselves for godliness, it's just wise for us to do that, having a time and place. But we know, as we begin to think through prayer, prayer is not just scheduled, it's also spontaneous. We pray to God in the car ride on the way to work. We pray to God in the checkout line in the grocery store. We pray to God when we're doing dishes at the sink. We know what it is to have a scheduled time of prayer when we go to our prayer closet and meet with the Lord, but we also just know practically that prayer is spontaneous. We see that in the Scripture. I encourage you last week, if you were to go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would see that in Jesus' life. Frequently, he would be off in a secluded place praying. He had times when he would go and meet with the Lord and the disciples would have to go and find him. And so we know in Jesus' life he would have scheduled times of prayer where he would go off to desolate places and pray. But we also know that Jesus would pray on the spot. He'd be caught up in a particular situation and he would turn to the Lord in prayer because the need was right now. We also see that in the book of Acts. So we know that prayer is scheduled. It's also spontaneous. We also know from the Scripture, and I hope from our own experience, that prayer is both private and it's also communal. Prayer is a personal discipline and a personal delight, but prayer is also a community project. It's what the church does. It's what God's people do as they gather together. So with that backdrop in your mind, prayer being scheduled and spontaneous, private and communal, I'm going to have three verses that are going to speak into this and I think provide us some instruction and some encouragement and some help. But before I put those verses on the screen, let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer, before we even look into your word right now. But we ask that as we look at these verses, truth from your mouth, your word to us, I pray that we would be attentive. I pray that we would be disciplined to listen. Father, I also pray that we would pick up as your children the discipline and the delight of communing with you in prayer. I pray that we would grow in this. I pray that you would forgive us for our frequent prayerlessness as it reveals to us our pride and self-sufficiency. Father, I pray that you would forgive us, and I pray that individually and corporately we would find ourselves moving more regularly in prayer and finding it more than a discipline, finding it a great delight that you desire to hear our voice. So, Father, speak to us this morning. Teach us on this matter of growing in godliness as it relates to our prayer life. Teach us with your word this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All three verses that I'm going to take you to this morning And again, because I'm taking you to three different passages, I'm just going to put them on the screen. They're well-known passages. You're going to recognize these verses. And maybe they came up in your mind last week when we were at Luke chapter 12 talking about the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and the motivation to pray. But the first verse is Romans 12. Tom, I'm going to just have you turn the slides for me. Romans 12, 12. Very familiar. It says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." Now, that last part of the verse, be constant in prayer, that truth, that reality immediately moves us out of our prayer closets. We know that it's wise for us to have a scheduled time and place to pray. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus instructs us to go off and to find times of praying to our Heavenly Father all alone. But when it says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, we know that that moves us out of our prayer closets because we don't live there. We don't live in our prayer closets. We move out into our day, and this encouragement is to be constant in prayer. Just looking at this verse briefly, rejoice in hope. The Christian always has hope. Because the Christian, the believer, the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, always has a greater future than their past. That is a phenomenal reality that you need to push into a little bit in your thoughts this morning. You think through, for us, one of our family members, I mentioned her last week, Bev Hudberg, seems to be near the end of her life. In her final days of her life, you realize she has tremendous hope because she has a greater future than she has past. Because, now this is what's amazing, there is more grace promised than what we have already experienced. We sang this morning of the greatness and the glory and the majesty and the richness of God's grace to us. There's more grace promised than what you've already experienced. That's phenomenal. So it says, rejoice in hope because we have a greater future than we have of the past. That calls for patience because in the present, we have trials and tribulations. We have difficulty. We live in a fallen world, and we experience the trials and difficulties. And so there's patience in the present tribulation. We're waiting for the fulfillment of promises. We're living by faith in future grace. And then all of this together, joy, hope, patience, trials, calls for a continuation in prayer. Pray now, pray constantly, be constant in prayer. The second verse, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Be watchful in it with thanksgiving. So continue praying. Go on praying. Some of your translation would say, be faithful in prayer. In prayer, we're patiently waiting for the Lord's return. We're watching for it. We're looking for it. We're waiting for it. So continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, because once again, we're waiting for the fulfillment of God's good promises, and so that fills us with not only joy, but with thanksgiving. The final verse is 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, I've put on the screen 1 Thessalonians 5:17, but on the screen is actually three verses. So for those of you who are struggling with verse memory, here's a good verse to memorize. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. How many of you think you can strap that verse on? 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. 17, pray without ceasing. 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Once again, in these verses, in this text, we find joy. Rejoice always. Why? Because we have a great future. We have hope. Rejoice always. There's joy. There's this matter of continuing in prayer and doing so with thanksgiving in every circumstance because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And this is God's will for us. And so these verses kind of push into our thoughts as it relates to our discipline in prayer and our growing in godliness as it relates to speaking to God. As these texts speak to our spiritual discipline of prayer, we come across words like be constant in prayer. Again, your translation may say, be faithful in prayer. This text says, continue steadfastly in prayer, or devote yourself to prayer, your translation may say. And then it says, pray without ceasing, or some translations say, pray continually. That means there's different words that are being used here, and it carries different nuances as it relates to our prayer life. let's think through some of the word use and what it means. The first one, be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in prayer. When you think of faithfulness, what do you think of? You might think of faithfulness to your word, faithfulness to promises, faithfulness to vows that you've made. Another way of thinking of faithfulness is quite often we think of marital faithfulness. We think of relational faithfulness. Just a few weeks ago, I pulled out the September little index that we get for September birthdays and September anniversaries and began looking down the list. And I think George and Sharon Krieger, who are here this morning, they have us beat for September. 54 years of marriage this past Thursday. And we hear that and we're like, oh, what tremendous faithfulness. Faithfulness to promises, faithfulness to vows, faithfulness to one another. Hear this, Romans 12 says, be faithful in prayer. So we pick up the fact that prayer is a communication activity with God who is faithful and who is making us faithful. What a tremendous result of a prayer life with our Heavenly Father. In the relationship between us and God, God is faithful. Faithful to His word, faithful to His promises, faithful to His people. And as we commune with God in prayer, the faithful one is making us faithful. Prayer is a communication activity between us and God. It's not just a communication activity. It is also relational engagement between us and God to whom we belong. And this conversation between us, this conversation that we've been brought into, this conversation that has begun with God's word to us, is to be a faithfully ongoing communication. So good word. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be faithful in prayer. Colossians 4, it says there on the screen, continue steadfastly in prayer. Continue steadfastly. Some of your translations would say, be devoted or devote yourself in prayer. What do you think of when you think of the word devotion or being devoted to? When we hear the word devotion, quite often we might think through the old school, have you had your devotions today where, time in prayer and time in God's word? But I think there's a different meanings to the word devotion. We have Lynn and I, we have a family member, a lady in our family who over the last 2 years has lost 88 pounds of weight, which is remarkable. And it's taken her a couple years to do. That's amazing to think back. 2 years ago, she's carrying around 88 pounds of additional weight in her body. But it's taken her a couple years, and she's lost 88 pounds. In a recent conversation, family was gathered together, and we were around talking. But in the conversation, someone brought up her weight loss, and they said, boy, that takes an awful lot of devotion. And it's the right use of the term. It takes an awful lot of devotion to persevere in a new lifestyle that resulted in that end. Colossians 2 says, devote yourself to prayer. For this young lady, a family member of ours who's lost all this weight, it became a devotion, but now it must be an ongoing devotion. It is a new lifestyle. It is a new rhythm. It is a new, she has habituated her life over a couple years in a new direction. And here this verse is saying, continue steadfastly, be devoted to prayer. God has purchased you this privilege. He speaks to you in His word, and He delights to hear your voice. Make this your new rhythm. Be devoted to this practice. Take it on. Finally, the word in the final sentence is pray without ceasing or pray continuously. Again, we just pick up the fact that prayer is to be an ongoing, at times spontaneous, never-ending communication. We pray in our prayer closets at a scheduled time and place, and we become disciplined in that. But we also pray circumstantially, and we pray continually. Pray without ceasing. One thought that I had on this, I believe our scheduled times of prayer and becoming disciplined in that greatly increases the likeliness of ongoing prayer throughout the day. I think the person who just disciplines themselves to meet with the Lord on a regular basis, have a time and place, and they discipline themselves, and that discipline becomes a delight, I just got to believe that that also just impacts and improves the continuation of prayer with the Lord regularly. I remember learning a great lesson about this back when I was in college, and it wasn't in a class. I was down at Liberty University as a freshman there, and at that time, this goes back in the 80s, you remember there's a great Romanian conflict, and there were a lot of Romanians that were fleeing their country, and a number of Romanian students came over to Liberty University and were gaining an education, and they were an interesting group of people because they were hoping to get trained for ministry to go back to their country where they were persecuted to do gospel ministry there. But it was amazing in interacting with them because they would relate to you and share with you and relate to the Lord at the same time. And I'd never been engaged in conversations that were like that. They would be talking to you, and they'd begin talking to the Lord as if he were actually present. And it was amazing to stand behind them in the business office where you're going to pay your bill, and they would talk to the clerk, and they'd talk to the Lord, and they'd talk to the clerk, and all in the same conversation. What a fascinating thing. I don't know if it works well that way, but I did learn something about being continually in prayer. Well, let's pick these up. Tom, if you'd go forward, and the prayer is, go forward one more. We know that prayer is scheduled and spontaneous. We didn't spend a lot of time there, but it's true. We find that in the scriptures. We find that in Jesus' life. We find that in the book of Acts. Acts 2:42, the church was devoted to prayer. They had times where they got together and prayed. It was scheduled, but it was also circumstantial. They were spontaneous in prayer. Move forward. Prayer is also private and communal. Again, didn't spend a lot of time there. Matthew chapter 6, the matter of finding your prayer closet and meeting with your Heavenly Father who is unseen, and He will reward you with Himself. And so we have our private times in prayer. We also have our public times of prayer where we gather together as God's people. Again, we see that in the throughout the Gospels. And then finally, prayer is an action. It's a discipline, initially. It's a spiritual discipline. It's something that we train ourselves in. That discipline ultimately becomes a delight and then a habit and then a routine. Our life is habituated this way. Prayer is an action, but prayer, as we've been learning this morning, is also an orientation. It's an orientation to life. It's a discipline that goes with us, and it's a delight that continues through the day. It is a practice that we learn. It is a practice that we share with one another, and it's a practice that, according to these verses, is unending. I'm going to share just one more verse in closing, Hebrews 4, and I want this to be a great encouragement to all of us. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Here's the good news. Let us then with confidence, because of Jesus, draw near to the throne of grace for a purpose, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We have a good and gracious, kind and wise Heavenly Father who invites us to come. And through Jesus Christ, we draw near, and we have God's ear. What a blessing. We have God's ear. We have a great high priest who serves on our behalf. We have a faithful older brother through whom we draw near to God, and confidently we do so, and we do so to find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. What good news. Let me close in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we have looked once again into your word and have been reminded of our responsibility to take you at your word and to be continually with you in prayer. Grow us in this, and may we find ourselves encouraging one another to grow in this, and may we as individuals be applying the scripture to our life. Father, I pray that we might be a church that's gathering individually with you to meet you, and gathering corporately to meet you. Father, we delight in the fact that you speak to us in your word, and we stand in awe that you even want to hear our voice. So we're grateful that the relationship just isn't teacher-student, but it's also father-son, father-daughter. May we press on in the discipline of prayer and find ourselves receiving you as you've promised, and may our satisfaction in you so increase that our prayer becomes continual. Grateful for all of your promises, grateful for your word and instruction to us, but grateful for the reward that you give us. as we by faith put it to practice. We love you. Thank you for loving us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been going through this series on spiritual disciplines, it's been greatly encouraging how many of you in various ways have picked up on various parts of these spiritual disciplines, whether it's reading God's Word or memorizing God's Word. One of them that was so encouraging is when I picked up on the application of memorizing God's Word. Again, we have a memory group, and you can get engaged in that. But one young man, when he sat through the message on memorizing God's Word, just said, well, hey, I'm going to memorize a verse this week. And he grabbed his parents and said, I'm picking the verse this week. You get to pick the verse next week, Mom, and you get to pick the verse next week, Dad. And then it'll come back around to me. And we're just going to start memorizing a verse a week. And it really is that simple. It's just that simple. This week we're going to memorize, 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. And next week you get to pick a verse, and we'll do that. And then Dad gets to pick a verse, and then I'll start all over. And it's just that simple to apply. Well, this morning and last Sunday and this morning, we've been talking about prayer. And so I want to encourage you, not only, for some of you, it might be a matter of, I need to schedule a time and place to meet with the Lord. Maybe you've just grown distant with that, and all of your prayers have been kind of spontaneous prayers, in the moment, on the need. And maybe for some of you, it's just like, I need to get back to having a time and a place where I meet with the Lord. And for you, that might be twice a week. For you, that might be three times a day. I don't know where you are in your spiritual development. But I would encourage you, some of you, just say, I need to start with scheduling a time and place. Others of you may be very disciplined in prayer and may have found it your delight and don't need to be encouraged in praying because you do so continually. But maybe for you, the stretch might be, this Wednesday night we start our midweek prayer groups. And so moving from your prayer closet to begin praying with others, there's a group of women that meet here and a group of men that meet here, and you might say, yeah, I'm gonna join a prayer group. I also know that there's small groups that meet in various times and various places. Men's groups here on Thursday and different groups that meet in different times. Women to women's tomorrow night, and they spend time around the tables praying. And so for you, it might be I'm going to take that next step and begin meeting with someone else to pray. Now, I'll share with you a personal experience. I remember when I was 20 years old and Lynn and I were married, and we moved out of the area that we grew up in, and we went to another church, and I grew up in church. And so I grew up going to Sunday school, children's church, Awana Club, and all of a sudden you're an adult and there's no kids programs and there's no youth groups and you're an adult. And I remember going to my first prayer meeting as an adult, having grown up in church. Isn't that amazing? Some of you probably have never been to a prayer meeting. Some of you have probably never met with a group of people whose purpose is to pray. And I remember at 20 years old sitting in my first prayer meeting, and you're sitting with a group of five other men. They're all, 20 years older than me or more. And we're sitting there, and they're going to pray. We're just going to pray here. And they start praying around the circle, and it's coming around to me. And I remember thinking, I'm going to puke. I'm going to throw up. Because for some of you, that's like public speaking. You'd rather die than pray out loud. I could just about guarantee you there are people here who resonate with that. I'm going to sit with a group of four men and pray. Oof, never done that before. So for you, it might be just grab a friend or grab a couple friends and say, a couple times a month, let's just get together to pray together. And think through it on that level. Just say, this is an area where I'd like to, I know we pray privately. I also know we ought to pray with one another. And let's just meet a couple times a month and we'll share prayer requests and we'll pray with one another. And do it on that level. Don't be like, well, I'm going to grab a friend and we're going to do this every day. Every night at 7 o'clock, you won't make it. And I'd also say, grab a friend and say, let's just meet a couple times a month and pray, and at Thanksgiving, we'll reevaluate it to see if we need to meet more or less. Or don't start this never-ending, forever and ever discipline. But do it like physical fitness and say, let's strap this on for a while, strap it on for a season, because in 8 weeks, we might ratchet it up or we might add another discipline to our praying together. You with me? So in order for these messages to actually catch traction, that's what you got to do. We can all gather and say, yeah, we need to read God's Word and memorize God's Word and hide it in our heart and take it with us. And we also need to be praying, in our prayer closets and praying together. And we could all nod our head and say, yeah, that's exactly right. It's true. That's very true. But if we don't do anything about it, we'll actually hurt ourselves spiritually. Because the next time around, we've already got part of the wall built. And like, yeah, I've heard that before. It didn't do it about the first time. Probably not going to do it about this time either. And so, again, I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage you where you're at. I don't know where your spiritual life is at right now, and so, but think it through. Maybe just you need to add private scheduled times of prayer yourself. Maybe you need to add someone to that. Maybe you need to join a small group, but do make some application as it relates to your life. You will be the one rewarded if you actually begin taking the grace that God gives you and exercising it. Prayer is grace to you. Prayer is a gift to you. And so I recognize in starting out, it might be a little sore, a little difficult, but if you'll press on in it, you'll find your God gives himself to you in prayer. He's promised to do so. And then you'll find God to be your delight, and you'll find yourself hard pulling away from praying. So let's get there as a people.